Hello. Hello, everybody. Took me a minute to get in here. Good old Zoom, you know. Hey, Jane, how are you? Haven't seen you in a while.
It has been a while. Hello, my friend.
I'm glad you're here today. How are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, crazy life things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You handling it well, though?
Well, I'm definitely handling it better than I would have, like, even a year ago or 2 years ago or something.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like really trusting that God's got something better. I tried to go back to being a corporate law clerk. I guess you saw my note, and that didn't work out. I mean, like, so from the very first week, I could just tell she did not want me there. I don't know. She did everything in her power to shut me down, and I was seriously questioning, like, am I going to have to leave? Because I told the HR person that I don't do toxic. And so, but the neat thing was, like, at the exit interview, I really held my own and held my worth
Yes, good for you.
and kind of let them know, not in a bitter way or anything, but there was toxicity and dynamics. And the law clerk coordinator was married to a senior partner, and so she'd remind me of that if I ever had a problem. Well, I'm married to a senior partner, you know. And he was the one that did the interview, the
Okay.
exit interview, which was hardly at arm's length. But so that was a real kick in the gut, but I knew that it was directional. Was definitely being directed away from that. So I took a couple days to really feel sorry for myself, and then was able to kind of, get back to dreaming and hope again. And yeah.
And that's important. That's really important that when you sustain a loss, right, to really go through that grieving process, knowing that yes, I'm going to grieve, but it's not going to be forever. Yes, there will come a time when I adapt and I can be flexible again. But it's really hard to adapt and be flexible when you are nearly broken. And so having that really good understanding of like, this is the time to grieve, and this is the time to adapt and move on is definitely a skill that needs to be practiced over time.
Yes, and that process has gotten shorter and shorter. Like, it was really just a couple of days. I'm in my room going, I don't want to talk to anybody. Sort of processing it and praying and doing mindset work and,
Got to get back to that place of being in your center, right? I know for myself, just I'm not going to tell all my stuff today, but there's some significant things that are popping up in my life. Just being exposed to some stuff on the insides that maybe are not so pleasant, right? And it's interesting because as I look back into my life, I see that what I'm working on right now, our growth is like a spiral. Right, a spiral staircase. It's not linear like most people think. And so, it's not that I'm regressing. I'm just coming at these issues from a very different angle. I'm also coming at these issues from a place of people that can actually support me as I'm going through these issues, which is fascinating to me because I really have not had that support. And so it's been very interesting to, just to kind of traverse this new place. I've actually cried in front of people, which doesn't, I know that there's people listening that are you're a crier. You're like, why is that an issue? Well, so my first family, they were very much and for good reason about survival. When you're homeless and you're living in your car, we don't have time to sit down and cry. We are trying to survive, and your crying is going to get in the way of that. And so, that there was a lot of punishment around tears. And then when, I was married to my ex-husband, especially there in the last 10 years or so, he created situations in order for me to break down and cry so that he got energized by that.
Yeah,
That's
cool.
just, yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. We send him lots of love. He's got stuff he needs to handle and take care of. And so the idea of crying in front of a person was like, no, we're not doing that. That is not safe. And so I now, with this new level of going through the issues that I have several people in my life who have really been able to support me in various different ways, and I feel very comfortable crying with them. And so that's just very, very refreshing. And so I like to offer that to everybody here today, that your growth, you will come back to issues, you will come back to people, and you will think, I'm not growing. Look, this thing is still here. But in reality, it's a different angle on whatever that thing is. And so just look for the newness, even if it is an old situation or an old person, because that's really where the growth is for us. So.
Yeah, that's what I've taught my clients too, is about the spiral of success, where you might be coming around and facing that issue again, but it's at a higher level
Yes.
of learning and understanding and growth and all of that. So anyway, I'm hoping to get some direction today on next steps, but I'll let somebody else
Well,
share.
let's use that actually, because I'm sure other people are kind of looking for some of that as well. So I'll step into that a little bit with you. So, what kind of directions for next step are you hoping for?
Well, whether to pursue my own thing again, I've been a leadership coach and like to think of it as a leadership healer. And I also have autoimmune stuff that causes me to have, like, I need big breaks in the day, and I have like a lot of pain and that kind of thing, which, when my mindset is good, is much lower, right? The more healing I get, it's lower and more manageable. So it's like, do I have the chutzpah to like get up and try again? And I feel like I do. Money solves a lot of problems. Right? Money
True.
gives choices and options. And so I want to go back to earning my own income and being able to, like, we're in the process of deciding whether to sell our house. I separated from my husband. It'll be 2 years, July 1st. He's living downstairs. Works great for our son. He was a musician, and he comes up and he lives here and goes downstairs and he lives there, but
Okay. Yep.
it's not great for me. So I don't qualify for a mortgage. So I'm really looking seriously
Yeah.
into tiny homes, and it is not done in my area.
Yep.
It has not been allowed, but I've done a lot of research, and they're allowing, because of the housing crisis in our area, they're allowing more for granny flats and dotty houses and things like that. So I need to approach the township and just, like, I've toured some, and I just need to move forward with that.
Okay.
And
So
it's
what Jane, do you think is holding you back from doing those things?
fear that they'll, like, I'll just be turned down. Like, no, that's not a possibility. And is that the best thing? And then what's my ex gonna do? And so my good friends, my inner circle that I can cry in front of, they've assured me that's not my responsibility to help him figure out where he's gonna
Right.
live. But we have to sell the house if there's gonna be any, if I get any kind of place, right? And whether we can get enough after we pay off the mortgage and the HELOC to actually, like, buy a tiny
Right.
house or two.
So I just want to step in here and say, There's a quote I actually used in my letter to my son today. He's in the Navy. I write him every day. So today the quote was, oh shoot, now I'm gonna forget it. Oh, something about some people want the plan, some people work the plan, right? Yes, that's true. However, you can't work the plan until you know exactly what you want. Right. And so there's some measure for you of like, I think I know what I want. You're throwing out, several different things that you kind of maybe want. And part of it is not having enough information. So that obviously makes sense. It may help you to gain traction if you just stick with one idea for right now. So like, it sounds like the tiny house is something that's really drawing your interest for a lot of different reasons, and also might actually help you make the decision around whether you want to, do your own thing or do something else. And so I wonder what it would be like if you just stuck with that one idea and then said, how much information can I get on this one vein, and then make a decision about that. Or you could take it from the other perspective of what would it happen if I just spent time with, what I want to do for my work, and I set aside the tiny house for now, but just try to come up with exactly what I want for work and what are my options. Because there's an old fable that says if you chase two rabbits, you'll catch none.
Oh,
Right.
yes.
And so, if you have too many things, and this is what I notice with a lot of coaching clients, that they'll come and they're like, I want this and I want this and I want this. And I'm like, okay, that's great. That's awesome. But we do need to focus. And so pick one thing that you want, go after that, figure out what are you going to do about that. And then the next thing, usually after that, it's like a dominoes set. The next thing usually kind of solves itself as you get moving forward.
Yes. And a very good piece of advice that felt directional to me this morning was you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes, didn't print out very well, that makes the existing model obsolete.
Yes.
So that was a bit like, I was the same thing, like, well, do I do all this again? But if I do all the business stuff again, it's all within the same energy of living in the same house. And it really doesn't, you know what I mean? Like I've tried that. And so I am leaning more toward the tiny house thing. That is income in itself, right? Like if we sell the house, there'll be, it's a way of making, 100 grand or whatever, after it's split between everybody.
And you'll be able to set up this new dynamic where you'll have a freer mind, which will of course will affect your physical body, and then it will be more clear to you what exactly you want to do. And so I sometimes you can go into a system and you can change one little thing to get a different result. And that's actually really helpful. For the most part, most of us can do that. We can make a little change, a little addition somewhere, a little edit. But every once in a while, you come upon times in life, and this is where you're at, Jane, where you got to look at the thing and go, yeah, no, this is a systemic failure. We can't just change a couple things. We got to just start over again. And so you're right. You're at the blueprint phase. But even in the blueprint phase, you got to have options too. And so, there's this fine dance between, yes, this is what I want, and here are my options. And so it sounds like that's where your work is right now, is really clarifying the desire and the options so that you can make a decision. Well, good
And
luck.
I've just thank you. I've just been moving forward with it, like going to tiny houses, bringing my kids to, you know what I mean? Like acting as if clearing out,
That was the
you
next thing that I was going
know.
to say is, if you're really looking at a tiny house, now is the time to get your whole life to the point where it's a tiny house. Because some people can do tiny houses, and some people, there is no way.
Yeah, I'm a total minimalist and I've been getting rid of stuff. I treat this floor of the house as my tiny house.
Love it.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's very helpful. I don't want to take up any more
No, I
of
appreciate it. It's
your
always
time.
nice to have like a real life case study to talk about these things. And I'm absolutely certain you're not the only one dealing with the actual issue, not the events that are going on in your life, but the making a decision, finding out what you want. How do I move forward in that? So thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So, as you guys know, this is just kind of open. Whatever you guys want to talk about, if you have questions, if you have something kind of like what Jane shared, like I'm going through this thing. Can I get a little piece of it, maybe insight? I was going to say wisdom and advice, but I don't know. I don't know if that's what you'll get today. Insight probably. So who would like to share something? I know we've got some new people. Actually, Rose is brand new. Jane's brand new to this Q&A session. So it's very informal. This is just what we do. We hang out and we chat. So I give it to you guys.
I wouldn't mind following up on some insight that you gave me last time.
Perfect. I love that.
You said something about recording the things that I do.
Yes.
I had a talk last night, and in the meantime, I looked into that little camera thing that you were telling me about and fell in love with it, got one, was afraid that my phone, what am I going to do with my phone? It's all I can do is use my phone, but I couldn't get it to connect because of technical difficulties or something. Didn't get the thing recorded last night. I had a talk at the public library and did a tapping talk. It went great. There was only a few people there, but the few people that were there stuck around for an hour and a half after the talk
Wow.
asking questions.
Yep.
One lady had a phobia of snakes. That I said, well, come on up, and got rid of that in like 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Totally changed that, and been doing other recordings within other groups through the Zoom recordings.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, I've got like a 6 week thing set up to I could use because I've ended up with five or six recordings all kind of on the same subject. Like, and I was looking at it going, huh, that could be a 6 week course, couldn't
That's right. Absolutely. It's just as simple as that.
So yeah, it's been great. My little YouTube channel is starting to build a little library, and
That's right. I love it.
been
Congratulations, Sue.
fun. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm glad it's been fun for you. Well, so the recording part, you talk about using a new camera and struggling with that. Like, that is all a part of the process. So, the first time you do anything, you're not real good at it anyway. And so you've done it first. So you've probably learned a couple things. If you really need tech help, I don't know, grab a teenager. They'll help you. They'll figure it all out for you. You got IT people there that can help you, So that's awesome. And that's just to kind of share with everybody in the group too. I want you to hear Sue, how she said not only was it easy for her to get going, but she's having fun doing it. Even when she, like, I knew the last time we talked, you kind of had that sense of like tech dread. How am I going to make that happen? Like, I'm really good at what I really know, but how am I going to make the tech, And now you are so much further along than you were than the last time that we talked. And so, just consider how much further along you'll be the next time that we talk. And it really
And
is
how much it
simple.
snowballed in just a short time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the one thing that I might offer, not just for Sue, but for other people too, it's really important that when we're helping people that we somewhat, you don't have to be religious about this, but somewhat track the issues you're helping with and the questions that people are asking. When you do that, so for example, Sue, to have, all those people stay after and really be interested in what you're doing, that really speaks to your level of mastery with the work that you do. And I know you know that. But also think about, these are not just the issues, because obviously your work can deal with a ton of issues. But what are the questions that they're asking? Because if you're going to do content in the future, you literally could just take their questions and do content on that. So if you're thinking about doing a YouTube video, take one of the questions that somebody had from the library and say, "Oh, I'll just do this little mini teaching here on this," because other people will have that question as well.
That's exactly what three of those five videos ended up being. I taught a lesson to start with on doing anger work. And after we clicked, stop recording, they started coming up with all these questions. Oop, better start, click the record button again. And it ended up being another 30 minutes of or so of Q&A on what I had just taught. Did another we did a group tapping on anger work where they could actually do it instead of just the lesson. Stopped recording. Everybody started asking questions. Oh, start hit record again.
Yep,
And that turned
exactly.
into another 40-minute thing. And then they sent questions to the leader of the group, and I had an email of questions like this, and did another one just following up, just Q&A. And it's the questions that really, because I don't know where to start. I just don't know where to start. But all of those questions, you start asking me questions and I'll talk for 14 days, right? It just
And
starts flowing
but that's
out.
such a simple thing when we're talking about leading and influencing and coaching other people. I do this is so simple, okay? Do not let this go by. Like, I'm gonna tell you the keys to the kingdom here, and you're gonna say it can't be that simple. And I'm gonna tell you again, it is this simple. Give the people what they ask for. Like, we as humans just make
Yeah.
things so complicated, and especially when we're like building our business, we think, "Oh, I need to make it so complicated to tell people that I know what I'm talking about." That, it no, you need to listen to the people and say, "Sure, I can help with that. Absolutely. Here you go." Right? I think about I've been working through this book with a co-author, and it's for coaches, and it but it's a Q&A reference book. So it's like, I'm a coach, I'm trying to help other people. I'm stuck. So here's my question. And I go to this book, I open it up, I find the question, I'm like, oh, let me read those 2 to 3 pages that are just about that particular question. There's no other book like it. I'm very excited that this is coming out because I work with so many coaches that are like, when I'm in the midst of working with somebody and I'm like frustrated, I don't know who to go to. Who do I go ask a question? Who, like, I can't, I went through my training 10 years ago. There's no answer to this question. And most likely your question wasn't in your training. Because coaches training and actual practical stuff don't always align. And so as we're going through this coaching book, we were trying to like the author, he interviewed me, we had all these questions. He interviewed me, I gave him content. He was using it as like, okay, we're gonna write this content. And it was very, I'll be honest, I read it and I was like, listen, I know I'm a PhD. This is the most presumptuous writing I've ever read in my life. It is so filled with ego and PhD, and I hate it. And he's like, oh. And I said, I am an expert, but I really want to be a likable expert. And this is for the people. This is not for me. And so I was able to kind of shift my thinking on this. And I said, forget it. This is what we're going to do. We have 50 of the top questions all coaches ask me. So each chapter is one question and it's about 2 pages long that has targeted information. Boom, that's it. And he's like,
Genius.
I love this. And I love it too, because I literally imagine that, we're in a session kind of like this and someone says, okay, Michelle, I got this resistant person. Like, yes, let me tell you why they're resistant and let me tell you what you could do about that, right? And so I'm really excited about the book because it is literally coming from the people that I work with. That I don't that just delights my heart. And so
That sounds awesome.
it's very simple to serve people. You just listen to them. Yeah. So well done. You're on your way.
Thanks.
Yay. Awesome. All right. And then I see Lisa, your hand. What do you got going on?
Okay, so I have a client coming up on Tuesday. She's a repeat client. We're on our third topic, and this topic's not going so well. The first topic was more personal and business related. This one is about her weight, and I'm a coach, so she's coming to me as a coach,
Yes.
and I think she's expecting advice rather than coaching.
Yes.
So everything she is outlining, and she's tried several things over the last several months, are sensible. So it's not, there's nothing that she's really doing wrong. She's tried, what is it, the top 30, low glycemic, this diet, and nothing's really been her answer. And I think she's getting frustrated because I think she's expecting me to have the answer, and that's not my role.
Right.
She can go to a naturopath to get that kind of
Yes.
counseling. So I'm looking for advice about how to transform our upcoming meeting so that I can do what my role is, and that is to coach, so she feels empowered. She knows why she's doing this, et cetera, et cetera.
Perfect. Okay, so I have two things. So the first thing is recognizing, and I'm just going to make sure this is seems like common sense in the Grow by One universe, but I'm going to say this because common sense is not a flower in everybody's garden. Okay, so there is a difference between coaching and mentoring. So coaching is asking questions to get somebody to come to an awareness or an aha about themselves so that they can create an action plan. Mentoring is a process where an expert, so somebody who has actual experience, hopefully reflected experience and wisdom, that gives advice to someone that asks for it. So you have to have an agreement there, in order for that person to take it and create their action steps. Okay. So right now I am doing mentoring because I am an expert in this particular area and I have been asked by Lisa to share the information and Lisa gets a choice about what to do with that. So I'm going to give you information. You can do whatever you want. Now, I would highly recommend that you take the information that I'm sharing, but again, you have a choice. You can be an ask poll or you can take it and use it for yourself. Little term I like there. Because there's a lot of people that like to pick my brain and then that's what they become. You know, they're not actually in you don't have to take my advice. But we just had this experience. So why not do something with it, right? So there's that. So you may want to have a conversation with her, just teasing out the two different tools. And help her understand if she's looking for something having to do, you know, on the weight and the health side of it, that might not be your expertise. And so if she specifically wants that, you know, if you have some people that you can refer out, that's a lovely thing. However, you can also, I'm going to give you a four part, actually, everybody's probably going to want this. This is a four part, it's like four magic questions that can be a little mini coaching model, if you will. Okay. So, the first question is, what do you want? Now, having her really go through what exactly she wants, not just this is the weight that I want to be, right? But like, how do you want to feel, right? That's really, really important. I know you're a Psych K facilitator, so think about like back to the future when we ask, you know, how do you feel? What will people say about you? You know, what will that look like, right? So what do you want? Have her flesh that out. Now the second question is why? Why do you want that? And really drill down on the why. Normally what's going to happen is, you know, especially with weight, it's going to be, you know, more life force energy so that I can do the things I love to do. You know, those kinds of things. I want to feel better, I want to move better. So once you determine the why, then the next question is, how do you already experience that now?
I love that.
So, because there's this notion of when we're thinking about the future and going into a goal, like there's here and there's there, but there's not really. Psychologically, when you're here and you get the idea for over there, so like Jane is, wrestling with this tiny house thing, we'll use that as an example. Jane's already got a tiny house living in her head. Okay. She's not in the tiny house yet. There's a lot to get there, but currently she's already living with the tiny house. So it's not a on and off switch, it's a transitional process. So she's already got the level of health that she wants in her head. Ask her, how is it showing up now? I'm so sorry, just a second. I think my door is open. I will be right back. Thank you. Thank you. This 17-year-old of mine has apparently not figured out how to actually shut the door all the way. And it's cold outside. And honestly, we have a squirrel that has been trying to get inside. And so that, like, I went through this moment of fear and drama, like, of thinking of that squirrel again. So, all right, I'm back. Okay. So the now, all right. So she says, I want more peace in my life. How do you already have that? I want my body to feel good. What about your body feels good right now? So what we're trying to do is get her to drill down into gratitude. Well, it's really more thankfulness for what she has now, but thankfulness, gratitude that it's already here. And then you go to, well, what would you like to do next? What's next? Simple action steps. And that really gets her psychologically and emotionally to a safe place to be able to come up with whatever the next is. And if you've already had that conversation around coaching and mentoring, a next step might be to actually go see someone for the actual diet. But then, if she can come up with something that usually gratitude and joy, fun and play. Those are really, really high energy medicines. And so you might want to, help her to focus in that direction if it feels right to her, and just kind of play with it. So how does that feel to
Okay.
you?
That sounds great. I love the framework. Yeah, the third
Yeah.
question is wonderful. Yeah, really key.
Perfect. And then my last question, I guess I would throw on there. This is always the commitment question. So those who have gone through the coaching academy, when we go to the way forward, that's like the last step of our model, is on a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you to doing what you just said you would do? So not how well are you going to do, not how fast are you going to do it, how committed are you? And so if she says 8, 9, or 10, let her go. Say good luck. Let me know how I can support you. If she says below an 8, 95% she's not doing that thing. So I can't let her go until I say, okay, well, what would make that number go higher? And usually it's that little hurdle that she's going to identify that you're like, ah, that's the real action step right there.
I love that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Woohoo. I love that because I'm actually going to do a teaching on that. So I just took all my notes on it. Thank you.
Serendipity.
See, I want to model for you. I just told Sue this is what you should do, so I'm going to model that for you. All right. And Rose, so good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. You want to just kind of share who you are and what you're about and what's been going on?
Oh gosh, that's a whole nother session. Michelle and I go back some ways. She's really helped me in public speaking skills and presentations through early childhood, developed a lot of my leadership ways of thinking and goals and philosophies. That's helped in building relationships and working with others and, just going through the process of people working with people. So I wanted to, come in and ooze some more of her awesomeness into some of the work that I'm doing now. And in just listening to everybody's own, special circumstances, it fits with through everything that I've also been experiencing in my new role. I am now an early childhood social emotional consultant, still with my same organization, but the way it flips, before I was an early Head Start manager. And so I got really used to working with children. Now, as a consultant, I work in, I go to daycare centers, in-home providers, and I'm working with the teachers that are supporting children that are working through these emotions. So I've been feeling real like, what is my purpose in working with these adults? I know how to implement positive social emotional development. I know how to work with, working through trauma and, helping kids do that. But it's now I'm working with the adults and supporting them while they're working with children. So it's kind of like how to
different.
stop hair, and things like that. So this new role that I've started has been in August, and trying to kind of like find my purpose in this role has been my struggle since I started. I don't feel like I have all of the information or the knowledge or the experience that I should have in having this role. When I'm in my meetings with the other consultants throughout the state of Michigan, I don't have the confidence to know what they're talking about. I probably do know what they're talking about, but I don't feel like that. So it's the struggle of being in this position that I really don't like. I don't like struggling. I don't like the hard stuff. I don't like not knowing things. I don't like being like, okay, I'll come back to you with that, because chances are I'll forget where I'm at and I come back and I'm like, oh, I never really answered what you were asking me. So it's working through the struggle of, new things, of things that you're not familiar with, that's been really hard. Not only in my professional role, but also I recently started teaching Zumba classes, as a Zumba Gold instructor. So I'm working with these other instructors who are 20 years younger than me, who really seem to have this thing down. And because I've been taking Zumba instruction for as many years, I'm expecting myself to be as good as they are. And while sure, that's a great expectation, it looks great on paper. However, being the one who is now in charge of trying to lead people to do the steps, it's difficult. I'm still getting that nervousness of getting up in front, and what if I make a mistake? Well, how are they going to see me as being their instructor? So it's working through that struggle of not being as good as I am expecting I should be, but yet knowing I really shouldn't expect that of myself. I'm just learning this. So it's like, I know one thing. However, I've got these outrageous expectations when I should just be like, okay, you've gotten these many songs done that you've been able to instruct. Let's build on that one at a time and not be expected to be, have a whole hour's routine and going all these places teaching Zumba to everybody. So it's really understanding, I guess just more understanding of myself through, and having to work through the struggle of, eventually you're going to get to where you want to be, and you have to work through the struggle in order to get there. And you can't go over it, you can't go under it, you have to go through it.
So rich, so rich. Okay, I was taking notes here. This is awesome. So the first thing I have to say here is a quote I always love from John Maxwell. He says, you need to promote yourself from an expert to a learner. Love it. Once you've reached expert level on one thing, You're now a learner on the next thing. Period.
Right. And that's,
Yeah.
exactly. So coaching has not ever been something that I've done often enough to practice at it. And now in my role, part of the job is creating action plans with these teachers
Yes.
and directors. Where do you want to go? What do you want to work on? What do you want to do to make your program better for the children that you serve, for the children that are in your, how are you going to help these children deal with their, social emotional behaviors, with, being too sensitive, being not sensitive, having aggression issues, working through trauma. And so it's,
And you're using a consultancy model with coaching. So what that means for everybody who's listening is consultancy means that you have a system, a process, usually a toolbox, a lot of knowledge around whatever it is that you're working on. So there's some model of like teaching, training, modeling. I'm going to show you this. But then within that is also the coaching piece. So here's all of this, but now the coaching piece says, hey, we need to individualize this so that you can actually put it into place. So I'm not just giving you a bunch of information and saying, go do this. We're now working through a plan. So that's consultancy using coaching practices. So also, Rose, I'm just going to plug this that probably sometime in April, we're going to launch another Girl by One Coaching Academy. You're going to want to be in that. Okay. All right. Perfect. So next thing I want to talk about, actually, I have a question for you. Okay. In your work with children, throughout this body of work, what is like the most important point? Like if you could only do one thing from your big, huge toolbox with children, for social emotional learning, what is that one power pack tool that you love to use with children?
it's the relationship. It's building trust. Through the more that the children trust, know that they're safe, then the learning can begin.
Yes. Okay. So how do you use that piece with adults?
Again, it's building the relationship with adults, coming out regularly. I'm not a, coming across as not as a threat to them. In one of my centers, they thought I was coming to, nitpick everything they do, write everything down, go tell so and so. And then, the director told me that they realized, oh, she's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I says, well, I have to come out and prove to them that, yes, I know what I'm doing, but I'm also doing it in the aspect of caring about the work that you're doing with children.
So the relationship trumps the knowledge piece. Yes. Okay. So that idea of relationship, in the social emotional space, how do you apply that to yourself?
Yeah, me and myself don't have that great of a relationship.
All right, so stepping into that, just saying, set that aside. That's gonna. So what you're doing is you're taking one principle from the system that you use, the most power-packed one, and you're saying, this is how I apply this to adults. Oh, wait a minute, let me also apply that to myself, right? So we're all in alignment. So I'm not coming in and asking you to do something that I wouldn't do for myself, right? And also, you pointed out this idea of relationships, but you. The things that you were bringing up, you were talking about like your self-image, your confidence, your lack of knowledge, at least in some of these areas, right? But you said the most important thing is relationships. So you can get away for a while without knowing something if you have a really strong relationship. So safe space, service, and love. Right. I'm actually getting ready right after this. So somebody remind me I need to leave a couple minutes early. I'm doing a keynote this afternoon. I have a client who made me a shirt that has the safe space, service, and love on it, which I love, but the keynote's online and I'm like, oh, I got my sign, but I'll wear my shirt anyway. And so essentially what we're saying is it's okay to not know something as long as you have safe space. You can. And I know you do that. So trust that you have built that, and that if you make a mistake, it's not that big of a deal. Okay. Another thing that I want to just really encourage you on is you're concerned about how am I going to look? Am I going to make a mistake? So Ralph Waldo Emerson says, where your focus goes, your energy flows. What you focus on, you get more of. I know you know this logically. So I'm going to just implant this idea in your head. Think about what you really want to feel in those moments. So I'm going to suggest to you a sense of wonder, a sense of awe of what's happening in the moment, a sense of fun that I get to do this, whether it's being, teaching Zumba or whether it's working with teachers. Also this sense of joyful service, that it's not a sacrifice, it's not something that you have to do. It's this place where you get joy from being here and being a service to other people. And so when you're starting to think about, you can do this every single morning, just, take 5 minutes, look at your schedule, and what do I have going on for today? I'm going to be with this person. What would it like to be in this classroom with that sense of fun and joy and wonder? What would it be like to do that if I was on stage, teaching this Zumba class? What would it be like to be in that room with people who know so much more than I do and still have a sense of fun and joy and wonder and soak up as much as I can? You see how that's very different than this, I'm always seeing myself as lack and limited.
Yeah, absolutely. It does make a huge difference. You're going in with a more positive outlook, you
And
know.
so you're actually training the part of your brain, your RAD, your reticular activating device. So what that is it's the what am I going to pay attention to part of your brain. So think about this: if you go to the airport and you're in the terminal, go to Orlando Airport at any time of the year, and I'm telling you're going to see how well your RAD is working. So you go to the airport, you're in the terminal. It's chaos. There's people everywhere, kids, noise, whatever. Your brain, because hey, this is when my flight leaves. This is where I'm going. I never remember my number. Some people do. They're like, oh, I'm on flight, whatever. I'm like, I don't know. I'm on the plane where they say, get on there. And I'm like, yeah, that's where I'm going. So anyway, whatever information that you're looking for, your brain will gather that, but you will not pay attention to all of the other announcements, because you don't need to. So your subconscious and your RAD work together to say, no, this is the only information I need. Everything else can go away. That's really, really helpful when you're in the airport. It's also really, really helpful to say, ah, Rad, we're going to focus on fun and joy and play and humor today. I want to see all of that today. I actually throw in there beauty, because I just love beauty, like a sense of beauty, a sense of awe, a sense of wonder. When I'm with people, that is how I'm feeling for the most part. Unless I need a nap. It's a whole nother thing. But if my RAD is working really well, that's what I'm noticing when I'm with other people. That's what I'm experiencing when I'm with you guys. Somebody asked me the other day, they're also in the coaching space, and they're like, wait a minute, so you do like a free open, like anybody can ask you anything? And I was like, yeah, come on over. And they're like, but how do you know what they're going to ask you? I'm like, I don't know what they're going to ask. And they're, well, how do you know what you're going to answer? I'm like, God only knows. I don't know. We just come, we just see what happens. Like, I'm not worried about what the result is going to be. I just know that whatever's going to happen is going to be magic. And also, apparently, I'm going to get a whole page of notes. So it's more for me too. So that's what I gift to you today, is to just realize that you can change your focus as you are growing. Just by going through this process, you are growing, you are learning, you are figuring out what works, what doesn't, right? John Maxwell also says, when you find yourself at the head of the class, find a different class. When you know everything, that's a problem. You don't want to be the person in the room that knows everything. You have the gift. You're not that person. You have this whole class that you're like, oh, thank God, I'm going to learn something, right? But at some point, you will progress to the point where you're in that room and you're like, yep, I know that. Yep, I know that. Yep, I know that. And that's when you'll know it's time to go to the next thing. So it's a very natural, purposeful place of where you're at right now. You're like a, so you've moved from an unconscious incompetent, so you don't know what you don't know. You are now a very conscious incompetent. You're like, yes, I fully am aware of what I don't know. But the next step is being a conscious competent. So gaining that sense of confidence. You're going to have more confidence if you see the fun and the joy and the service in what you're doing and really focus on the relationships. And then you'll get to that unconscious competence of like, it's just a part of who you are now. Does that help?
Absolutely. Yeah. It just kind of puts it all in a perspective.
Yeah.
Instead of just being all random thoughts, it's in a line. And yeah, it makes sense that way.
Yeah, so play around with it, see what happens. Come back next month, tell us what happened.
Yeah, I will.
Awesome. All right, back to you, Lisa.
So, real quickly, I sent you a link. Rose, in via LinkedIn, I'd really like to connect you and my sister because what you want is what my sister does. And you guys can share a brain trust. What you can offer her is that she's trying to change. She's going to move across the country back to Michigan. And so she needs to just get up to date about what's happening in Michigan in this special ed and, field. So, yeah. So I sent you a link in LinkedIn. What she does is she's a special ed teacher, but the way they run it in Utah is that they aim to have all the kids integrated. So what frames her work is working with the teachers and the classroom and the subject teachers, because she then takes that material and translates it to the kids. So there's a lot of teacher-student interaction, and she's been doing that for decades, and she feels really proficient at that.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Love it.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. And we have just a few more minutes. I know Angela is there. She's probably lurking, eating her lunch. I just want to give you an opportunity. What you got going on, girl?
We don't actually have anything. We've had no
Oh.
questions. Yeah, we're just
Whoa, whoa,
I.
whoa, whoa. Let's just pause there. Let's just pause. We've been doing this a long time. You're telling me you and Heather have no questions for me today.
Nope, when we started, she just left the room, but she's on the other side of here. I said, "What questions do we have for Michelle today?" And she said, "I don't think we have any. We just left a coaching session, and it was the last two that we've had were really good. Very positive, and we have no questions
Congratulations.
yet."
Congratulations. I love
Yes,
it. I love
we're
it.
excited.
All right, so how is it going? Because you've the last few times you've had some very resistant clients that you've been working with in a very targeted and intentional way. So how, what's the movement there?
So one of our groups we just met with earlier today, and it was good. We had resistance from them. We did some videotaping, and
Okay.
so we went through the videotaping, and then I like wrote down like specific times because they're having a challenge with their transitions and their wait times, which are really long for their preschool children. So we went out and we just had them watch that, and we asked some really good questions, and that's all we kind of did, and helped them solve a
Nice.
problem solve a little bit. Asked them what they needed from us. We gave them those materials. We printed out some things for them, and we went on what they needed us to do. And we said, okay, we let them decide. With the classroom that we had yesterday, they had a lot of struggles last week. Some of them looked like they were ready to quit, like they were frustrated and really upset. We went in, well, that was the week before because we had spring break last week. We went in on Thursday and we had a really good conversation with the teachers. Ask them what they wanted and what they needed, not what everybody else wanted, thought that they wanted. And we were able to provide that for them this week. We did some mod we did some modeling on one day, and we asked them what they wanted, and they said, "We don't want anyone in our classroom this week. We want to try to do it ourselves."
Yeah.
And we met with them yesterday in the afternoon, and it was the first time that we saw them happy. And they were excited. And the
That's
lead teacher said we
huge.
got through our whole day, and it was wonderful.
That's
So,
awesome.
yeah, so we are feeling really
Congratulations.
good right now.
Yes, you should
Yeah.
be. You've been putting all that time and effort in. And that's one of the biggest joys, honestly, of doing work like this. When my friend was asking me about the magic of what we do here in this 1 hour, I said, you know, it's beautiful because people come back and they tell me the wins that they have. And there's nothing better or that brings more joy to a coach's heart than that somebody goes and does something with it and gets a return. Like, I cannot tell you guys, getting a win for myself, fine, whatever. I mean, I can get a win. You know, I got my little trophy here, my little positive potato. I can give myself a positive potato if I, oh yeah, I'll show that to the new people. Like, we have our trophy, you know, and we have our positive potato now. So that's fine. And I can accomplish things and people can give me awards and that's awesome. But the joy that I get from people who get their own rewards is unmatched. And when you do that in a coaching style, so when you just reported this, I just want to point this out in the five levels of leadership. So the first one is authority. You got the job. Second is relationships. Third is production. Fourth is coaching. Fifth is where the people that you are leading are developing other people. So because you are doing the work of developing other people, guess what I get? I get to be a level five leader. And I love that.
Congratulations. You're a level five leader, Michelle.
Thank you. I appreciate it. A little bit of selfishness there, but I'll take it. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. I do see my time. I need a little potty break before I go do this keynote. Actually doing a keynote on, this is fascinating. No, I'm not going to tell you. I'll leave it for later. Anyway, I'll tell you later. You got to come back next month. Ask me. I might not remember, but there's a chance. All right, get out of here.
Everybody have a great weekend.
You too. Go be awesome. Love on some people and we'll see you again. All right, bye-bye.